Let's go out to the 610 hotline and welcome in a guy we haven't had on the show in a little bit, but it is football season yet again. Training camp underway. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, kind enough to give us some time after practice today in St. Joe. Are you already enjoying the back and forth drives from KC to St. Joe?
Sure. Technically, it's from Overland Park to St. Joe.
Fair.
You know, me and Metcalf are going to have a real, real nice relationship, boys. But I'm doing pretty well. I'm getting into the hang of it. I will give you a different answer probably on August 3rd.
I feel you.
Know? But for right now, based on the weather, I mean, we've really lucked out so far. I'm in an excellent mood.
That's good to hear. We go up there on Monday. I'm sure it'll start being 98 degrees or something once we get up there next week when we start seeing you and broadcasting live. But I want to go back to yesterday for a second, because I think Xavier Worthy, that was a name and a player that everybody, not only because he was a first round pick or watching, but because we really didn't see him, Nate, this offseason due to the hamstring injury. And it sounded like he even admitted that he's not 100% yet.
Right, and it's hard to really gauge where he is from a physically healthy standpoint. Obviously, he's not fully healthy, but, you know, I give credit to him for at least being prepared so far for this sort of shortened, truncated part of training camp before, obviously, the whole team really gets going on Sunday. He understands the importance of trying to really build that connection with Patrick Mahomes and understand, you know, what his role could be, you know, in September. I think that's all that you're hoping for, is that, hey, as training camp goes forward, he doesn't really have a setback. He only improves the muscles in his left hamstring, which was the injury he had in May. That only strengthens with time, and so you can sort of see more flashes of his true top-end speed. He did pretty well, given it was his first practice, basically since right after the draft. So with all that considered, it's just a matter of how will the Chiefs, and I asked this to Patrick Mahomes on Tuesday, you know, how are you going to try to navigate this guy through camp when you know he's really going to be a pretty pivotal part of your offense, and Patrick wants to push his limits as much as he can, you know, based on the physical health of him, so that they are, you know, in a bit of a in sync, I should say, you know, ahead of, you know, a pretty fun game that we should all look forward to on September 5th when the Chiefs, you know, obviously host the Baltimore Ravens.
And the one thing, Nate, did you hear from these rookies, you know, Xavier on down, is the fact it's go time when you're drafted this time. There's no training wheels with this team. It's get on there. It's not about easing in. It's about going in there and performing. I mean, he's a first-round pick. They're expecting things because they didn't get any other receivers in the draft. You think Xavier kind of feels that because, according to him and according to Patrick Mahomes, it's go time for these guys right away?
Right. I mean, the thing that I love most about what this training camp does, and you know, obviously I've covered the team long enough to see it now year over year, is how much Andy loves tempo and making you get to a point where you don't really want to do this anymore, right? And how do you push through that first wall? So that'll be the most exciting part about really the first couple padded practices for even someone like, you know, Xavier Worthy, because everybody knows the only knock on him as a receiver, the only reason he wasn't like a top 10 guy, is because, you know, of his physical limitations in terms of his frame and the fact that he will probably play somewhere in the 270s. The 170s, not 270.
It's a lot of training table.
That's usually what I say, but for guys that are not, you know, receivers, but honestly, you know, can he get to like 180? And still have that electric 4.2 speed that he showed at the combine, to where he can make obviously explosive plays, which is what this offense desperately needs. But it's not like Andy's going to take it easy on anybody once we get started on Sunday. It's only going to get harder, more physical, more mentally. It's going to be asked of Xavier Worthy. I think the best thing for Chiefs fans is that from a mental standpoint, he really hasn't made no mistakes these first 2 days. He's lined up correctly. He's ran his routes pretty well, even though, you know, he's not really pushing it in terms of trying to extend, you know, his legs and really get, you know, he's just trying to get his feet under him and he's just trying to get into rhythm with the quarterback. You know, there's the occasional drop or two, and that's understandable considering that he didn't have much practice time with Patrick Mahomes over the offseason. So now, when will that first wall come? How will he sort of get through it? And then how quickly, as I said before, can he get to top speed? Because I look forward to the matchups between him and Trip McDuffie most, because I know Trip McDuffie is a tactician in terms of covering receivers, but the reason why you go get Xavier Worthy is because the speed just gives you such an advantage for the offense.
Nate, Kingsley Suomatias spoke yesterday, and kind of what are you expecting right away? I mean, clearly talking to Wanya, he's going to get the first kind of look there. Do you expect a quick rotation between these two guys, you know, working with the number one unit? Is it, we going to kind of see, you know, in and out between these two guys? Is that what you're expecting, how they work this thing?
It's such a good question, Jay, because I don't think I even know the answer, but I have a good estimation, a good sort of theory as to what might happen on Sunday, right? That'll be the place that everybody should look if you're going to come here to St. Joseph for the first open practice for fans. Okay, who's the first team left tackle? Now, I want to remind people, a couple years ago, we had similar questions about center and especially right guard, because obviously Trey Smith was a low-round pick, even though his talent suggests that he should not have been taken in the second round. And then, of course, your top pick, or one of your top picks, I should say, was Creed Humphrey. Andy Reid didn't have a rotation. Those two guys started, even though Laurent Duvernay-Tardif came back after serving, you know, the front lines of being a doctor and trying his best to help his people up north during COVID. Trey Smith took every first-team rep. Creed Humphrey took every first-team rep. I wonder, will there be a replication of that on Sunday, where they've been preparing Kingsley Suomatias to be the guy, and before we get to the pads, which is where the first seed change could really happen, I wonder if they're going to use all these practices before the first padded one to give Kingsley as many reps with the first team to understand what Patrick is seeing, to get adjusted to Creed Humphrey's calls at the line of scrimmage. If they're going to try to give Kingsley every advantage possible so that he's ready to go and compete, because obviously Wanya has already been through the system. He had a pretty good rookie season based on where you drafted him and what was asked of him. But they drafted Kingsley Suomatias to pretty much win this battle. And so I'm fascinated to see, how does Andy Reid and Andy Hecht, the offensive line coach, do they just give him the reins? And if he can handle it, then it's about, can he maintain it? Can he get better? And will you sort of see maybe Wanya Moore switch to a different role, which is like, hey, could you help out at guard if need be? On the, you know, based on the news now that we know that, you know, Joe Tooney is going to be on the pup list, at least at the start training camp. And then, of course, could he be the new swing tackle if Kingsley Suomatias does well at left tackle as a rookie, which, again, is rare in the NFL, but it does happen. And there's a reason why you draft a guy in the second round, even though you drafted a guy previously the year before in the third round. So that would be my theory as of right now. I don't know the answer, but that's my best guess on what we might see between Sunday and whenever the pads come on, which I believe will be early next month.
We got Nate Taylor from The Athletic, our Chiefs insider, joining us here on Cody and Gold. We saw yesterday, or I guess it's been 2 days at this point, that the Broncos went out and paid one of their young guards, Quinn Meinerz, 4 years, $80 million on average salary per year, third highest in the NFL. Trey Smith's agent has to love seeing that, but how much more challenging does that make it for Trey Smith to stay in Kansas City?
It makes it extremely difficult, fellas. I even wrote in The Athletic, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, what our editors asked from us was, hey, give us one player that's worth watching from a contract standpoint. And a lot of times it's either the first round pick, or, hey, maybe you trade it for somebody and he's new to the club and you just kind of want to see, you know, will the team sort of invest. Obviously, we have the whole Brandon Ayuk situation in San Francisco. But I actually chose Trey Smith for this particular reason, because the market kind of told you that things were shifting. Because people like Chris Jones exist, right? We're getting to a place now where defensive tackles are getting very good at rushing the quarterback, and you don't just need a really good right tackle and a really good left tackle. You need interior protection as well. The Chiefs arguably have the best interior offensive line in the league because of Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey and Joe Tooney, if he comes back and obviously plays to his form. The issue, though, is you drafted Creed Humphrey in the second round. And the economics, based on the market right now and the franchise tag possibility, it appears, as of right now, to be easier to retain Creed Humphrey than it is to retain Trey Smith. And just like we saw this past offseason, you would love to keep both players, right? You'd love to keep Legarius Sneed and Chris Jones. The Chiefs ultimately felt like they had to make a choice. They chose Chris Jones over Legarius Sneed. Now, I'm not sure they're going to, like, you know, franchise tag and trade, you know, Trey Smith if it comes to that. But I do get the sense that the market right now tells you that Trey Smith is a top five guard. If he's consistent this year, if he shows a little bit of an improvement in terms of limiting his penalties, that's, I think, the biggest thing that he sort of hamstrung the offense at times last year. But he's effective in the run game. He's been durable. He's been consistent for the most part. And who knows, based on the way he's played and the way the offense has even gone, despite the whole drops last year, he's sort of building a reputation to where I can see him being a first-time Pro Bowler too. So if all that happens, he will be, as I wrote in The Athletic a couple weeks ago, he'll be the top guard on the market if the Chiefs choose to not franchise tag him, and I don't think they'll probably make that decision. So it's a long ways away. I'm trying to give the best information I can, but I do think for a segment of Chiefs fans, as much as you may love Trey Smith and he's a wonderful human being, this may be the last year that you see him in a Chiefs uniform, just because the guy who just got paid from the Denver Broncos is not as good as Trey Smith.
Yeah, no question about that. And Nate, when you look at these things, obviously we talked about Kingsley for a minute, but some of these other rookies that are at camp, Jared Wiley, what's his impact going to be? Because we did see Blake Bell out there with Noah Gray a lot in 12 personnel, and they pulled Travis Kelce, yeah, you know, out of the game. So they're probably going to be expecting him, especially in the red zone. Or Jaden Hicks. You know, Jaden Hicks, a big-time hitter and did a lot of good things at Washington State, but it's a deep position, so it's going to be a rotation. I get that. But again, right, these are going to be ancillary pieces, and Kingsley will probably lead all rookies in snaps, but what are your expectations for a Wiley or a Hicks?
So for Hicks, I think it's pretty simple. His first impact could probably be on special teams. I think Chamari Connor is one of the more fascinating players coming into training camp, because I do think he's probably the leading candidate to be the third safety, maybe your big nickel defender if you want to ask him to do that, if you want to keep, you know, Trent McDuffie on the perimeter. So I think it's a pretty normal rookie season for Jaden Hicks. As we saw with Chamari, hey, maybe there's an injury, maybe something happens later in the year. You've had half the season to sort of get ready for a moment if you're called upon to be a starter or to play, you know, an increase of snaps. So I think it's pretty easy for him. It's great, though, that I will tell you that unlike some teams who will say, hey, you're a rookie, just learn one position, just get one thing down. We think you can do this really well, so focus on that. The Chiefs have gone the opposite with all of these guys. Everyone that has come to the podium so far these past 2 days has sort of demonstrated, outside of Kingsley Suamataia, that they're learning multiple positions. So this will be beneficial for Jaden Hicks, I believe, in the long run, because if something happens with, you know, Justin Reed and you have to play in the box, you know, he'll have a lot of reps already doing that, because that's going to occur a lot in training camp. You know, Brian Cook is coming back from injury. He's mostly the deep safety. Jaden Hicks probably needs to improve most in coverage, so I'm interested to see how he'll do in that type of role as well. But he's going to be moving around a lot, and so I think it's going to help him ease and learn the playbook maybe faster than the average rookie, so that if he is needed again in November, he might be ready. I am football in love with Jared Wiley. I know a lot of people are excited to see Xavier Worthy. Can I divert your attention to this kid? Because from an athletic standpoint, from a soccer, because he's a former quarterback who played really well in college and catches everything under the sun, and he has a beard, I can see why you want to lead to certain comparisons. But there were things he did in the offseason program that said, oh, maybe the Chiefs have found something that you couldn't necessarily see on college film, but his skill set kind of translates better to the NFL game than even college. And wouldn't you know, that kind of reminds me of somebody else who got drafted in the third round in 2013. So I think as more fans get used to seeing Jared Wiley, as more film gets out of just these reps with what we're going to see over the next month, I think Jared Wiley has the chance to be the camp darling even before we get to preseason games, because you can see the physical traits, and he really does catch everything.
Real quick, and then we'll let you go. With that, I think you're right. If we were to guess the names of players that fans and maybe media kind of fall in love with during camp, but what's realistic for him this year, though? Because there's a balance there, right? Like, we can see where we're excited, but what I was trying to say, people said I'm hating on him, and not hating on Jared Wiley at all. It's just that I also, he's still the third tight end on this team.
But he's, I think, and again, this is projecting, obviously. We'll have to see it in reality when it gets to that time. But I think he already had better receiving skills than Noah Gray did when Noah Gray was a rookie. And I thought Noah Gray was really good for this offense because he was such a versatile player who was a willing and capable blocker. That's the one thing you're going to want to ask from Jared Wiley in training camp. Look, man, I know you're a really good receiver, like above average receiving ability for tight end entering the league. Now it's just about how are you on blocking, how are you at, you know, protection in the passing game if need be because of what Blake Bell brought all these previous years ago. But look, I mean, if he's a better version than of Jordy Fortson, then the offense will clearly find a role for him and he can win one-on-one matchups. I'll never forget a couple years ago when the Chiefs played the Buccaneers and they lined Jordy Fortson up basically at wide receiver with Travis Kelce on the other side of the field in a one-on-one. And I said in a press box, oh, that's a slant and a touchdown. And guess what happened, kids? It's a slant and a touchdown.
Yeah.
What I'm telling you is Jared Wiley's a better version already than Jordy Fortson was basically at the prime of his career, given how much the Chiefs invested in Jordy Fortson's development. So it's really just how does he look in pads? Can he block well? Can he be reliable in the blocking game so that he's not necessarily predictable when he's on the field, of course, for the opposing defense? If all those things happen, Jared Wiley's got the athleticism to make it in this league. But, of course, tight end is one of the hardest positions because you do have to block. You do have to get your hands dirty. And, of course, you're going to be running alongside Travis Kelce, so you're going to have to do some of those traditional tight end things to make yourself available for the offense.
Nate Taylor from The Athletic, appreciate it as always, man. And I saw you had a great time out at Wimbledon, too. I was very jealous of that. That looked awesome.
It was magnificent, my friend. Magnificent. I would encourage anybody, if you can go to Wimbledon, please go. Even if you love tennis or just want to be a part of the experience, they do a wonderful job there. It's pretty much the tennis. I basically equated it, to the tennis Disney World experience. Like you're just in a different land, and the food is great, and the experience is awesome. They don't have roller coasters, of course. But yeah, you can watch Carlos Alcaraz hit a 130-mile-an-hour serve, and you can't see it. So how does the other guy on the net see it? You know, it's great.